We're glad that you're here. It's summertime. Folks are coming and going. A lot of vacations right now. I saw a few minutes ago on Facebook that one of our dear families was on the way to church, but their daughter decided to spray a suntan lotion in her eye and went back home. So we pray for them and the little ones there. And so those are how things happen, but we're glad that you're here today. We're going to talk, and we're going to keep a long time. It's a warm day, and we're glad you're here. Vacation Bible School is gearing up for its last Wednesday this coming week. So many other things going on. But I've chosen a topic called grace versus judgment. I've talked about this before, but I always think it's relative, especially when we see things happen even in the last 24 hours in El Paso, Texas, in Ohio. And those are extremes of hatred, obviously, but usually it starts in the heart and with the attitude you might have towards other people. And even in churches, we talk many times about, you know, what should we all agree on? Should every Christian have the same philosophy on everything? Should Christians have the same outlook on everything? Is there room for disagreement? Is there room for diversity in the congregation? I've seen churches that basically have stands on all kinds of things, and you must be in total agreement. And many times that brings disharmony to a church, or makes a church be basically clone people thinking the same thing. And I don't think Christianity was ever designed to be that. I think there's some things we need to agree on. I mean, obviously, you know, serving God, loving God, Jesus Christ. But there are so many things in which the scriptures are pretty clear about that. Whatever is not clear and not commanded in scripture, therefore it's not commanded on us, and that's where personal liberty and personal understanding and where you may be in your Christian walk come into play. And I also believe that Christianity at times takes a bad hit because Christianity can be known as a bunch of judgmental people. We can become very opinionated about things, and our job was never to be in management. Our job is to be in sales. And so we let God do the judging and stuff there. So we're going to talk about that today, and I think it's pretty relative, especially to the Christian body, because our church is unique. We started this church 18 years ago, and one of the premises was, as I came out of a mainstream denomination, which had some pretty strict outlines of life and how we should conduct ourselves, and we wanted a church environment that simply loved one another, loved God, and simply was a church where people who maybe don't necessarily love church, but they love God, they could fit in. And we always just say that we're a church for people that have given up on church but not on God, and we try to be relevant that way. In the book of Romans, chapter number 14, it's one of the most wonderful passages when it deals with the fact of this topic we're going to talk about. Let me set it up before we get into it, though. In this text here, we're going to give you the background on this. Christianity was brand new. It was only a few years old. And so all the Christians of that time were basically Jewish people that came out of the Judaism and the Jewish way of teachings and all that the Jewish synagogue had laid out. In the Jewish belief, there were certain rules and regulations, which means there were certain meats that you could not eat. There were certain things you could not do. There were certain things that you had to abide by. And if you look at the Old Testament law, there are about 635 different laws and restrictions that you had to abide by. But when Jesus Christ came and people began to follow Jesus Christ, the Christian, and they call it actually the way back then, the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of the apostles, Peter and Paul, mainly Paul, was that the rules and regulations of Judaism no longer are applying to the people that follow Christ. It's not that they're not good ideas. And we're not talking about thou shalt not. We're not, you know, if someone says thou shalt not murder, then obviously that's stuck there permanently. But a lot of things that they had to do, for instance, they couldn't eat certain things or to work or do anything on the Sabbath day, the Saturday. And when Christ came, he basically, the resurrection day being Sunday, he created somewhat of a new Sabbath day and said the old Sabbath day is no longer needed to be followed. You can work, you can do this thing. It's up to you to decide yourself. So churches begin to grow, and you had the teachings of Paul saying the Old Testament restrictions are not bound on the new Christian people. And there are a lot of folks that came out of Judaism that had a hard time changing from tradition. I don't know if you ever met somebody who grew up in a very strict church or whatever, and then all of a sudden they're having a hard time living within the liberty that they're giving because they got so used to having this direction. And the pastor always gave, you know, his two cents on this is what we should do and not do, where most of what we do here, we say, how do you feel about it? What do you think God's teaching you about this? And trying to help people mature in their own faith and their own journey. But back then, it got kind of disputed in there. And what was happening is that these two groups that were in there, in this one church, Christian church, there were those that said, I agree. We're told, because of Christ, I'm no longer bound to the laws and all the rules and regulations of the Old Testament. And I'm free to eat anything I want to eat any day of the week, do anything I want. If I want to work on the Sabbath Saturday, I can do that because I've been liberated because of what Jesus Christ has done. But there are some in there that said, I still think it's important that we hold on to some things because if we go too far, we go from having liberty to license, and next thing you know is we're no longer doing anything, right? And so they battled. So Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Romans to this church, and he gives us some instruction about how they can live together with both viewpoints. Because what was happening, they were going to split as a church. They were going to say, well, we can't be in agreement, so therefore you might as well have your church, which you're more legalistic, and you got these rules and regulations you want to follow, and we're more the church of liberty, and we're going to split. And what Paul was saying, and in the church, you're going to have all opinions. And you can have people that feel different things about certain things without dividing the church. Kind of what he was saying is that you need to do what you want to do. You feel God leading you. You have the liberty. And if you don't want to do that, you don't do it. Don't flaunt it between each other. Don't divide over it. Just live peacefully with one another because it's all right to have difference of opinions about many things. And that's really what I want to talk about today because we're talking about grace and judgment. And what happens is, so many times Christian people get the reputation, and rightfully so, that we begin to judge other people for what we don't like them doing or what we were taught to do differently, where we really need to show grace and understanding even if we don't see eye to eye. I guess my mother used to tell me growing up is that you know you really are exercising love when you can extend love to somebody who is diametrically opposed to your viewpoints. When you can do that, my mother used to say, then you're okay. Because you don't all have to walk the same way, like the same things, and have the same convictions and preferences in your life. Now, people sometimes get on the idea about, well, if we're not allowed to judge, you know, that means that, you know, anything goes. There's a thing about discernment. When you're raising kids and you discern that some kids are not good for your kids, sometimes you have to hold those kids back. That's discernment, so no harm comes. Some people say that means that the government can't judge. If you do a crime, no, the Bible teaches that we are under the authority of the government we're in to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, the things that are God, the things that are God. That's two different categories. What we're talking about here is that you're a Christian, you see a brother or sister, or maybe a non-Christian do something, and you say, I can't have anything to do with you because you're not acting right. You're not doing church right. You're not doing Christianity right. And that was never the intention of building a strong, unified, but diversified church. And that's what we're going to read here now in the book of Romans, chapter number 14. It's so wonderful. We're going to read the whole chapter. Fortunately, there's no big words for me to mispronounce. You'll be happy for that, okay? All right. Here's Paul's letter to them about all these disputes they were having. He says, except ones whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. I'm going to stop every so often. He didn't say you're approving. He said accept. There's a difference between approving and accepting. If you disagree with somebody about something they're doing in their life, you know, it doesn't say you have to approve or disapprove. That's not your business. But accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matter. And he's not talking about weak as if they're weaker than you. He says that somebody who basically is judging themselves, he said, don't lose faith over that. And without quarreling over disputable matters, which tells me there are many disputable matters in Christian faith. There are things that were meant to be left for you and I to grow in our faith, and we may understand differently. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another's faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat one with contempt, the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. And here's one of my favorite parts in this chapter here. Who are you to judge someone else's servants? And what he was saying there, we are all Christ's servants. The only person we're serving is God. And he says, who are you to judge God's children, his servants? To their own master, servants stand and fall. They will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considered one day more sacred than the other, and another considers every day alike. I'm talking about the Sabbath. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as a special does convince in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as a special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to the Lord. Whoever thanks to God, whoever abstains does not so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us live for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, and if we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Basically saying that, basically you need to stay out of everybody's business because everybody is accountable to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we all stand before the judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account for ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your minds not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother and sister. And what he means by that, say you and a brother and sister in Christ or somebody have a different opinion about certain things. Let's take the consumption of alcohol. Say, for instance, you feel at liberty that the Bible doesn't teach the New Testament abstinence from alcohol, but somebody believes it strongly that the Bible teaches in the Old Testament abstinence, and you have a disagreement over whether you're going to follow the New Testament or the Old Testament. It means this, that if you're in someone's house or you invite somebody to your house that has a different viewpoint on it, you ought to be respectful not to put that before them. Respect their wishes when you're by yourself. Basically, don't flaunt your liberty to somebody who has a different opinion. The key to this is to keep harmony and not to feel that you have to be like everybody else, but also not turn around and saying, you're wrong, I'm right, I have liberty, I can do what I want in your presence. The key to this is to create harmony, not division in all of this. Going on down here, it says, with verse number 14, I am convinced, being fully persuaded, that the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, for them, that person, it is unclean. If a brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone else whom Christ died for. Don't flaunt it. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ is in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification and harmony. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person anything that causes another person to stumble. Once again, don't flaunt it. Don't do something that's going to break the harmony. It is better not to eat meat or drink or wine or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourselves and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not of faith or from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. I read the whole chapter because I think it's relevant, and let me narrow it down here. What Paul is saying is your focus is on your performance. Your focus, and the reason why you're dividing, is upon your performance and your differences. The early church was heavy into debating about how we should do church. Now, give them a break. They did not have a Bible to go by. They didn't have a New Testament. They had the Old Testament, all they had. So they didn't have what we have. They had the teachings of these actual leaders right there at that time, writing letters to them, and they were getting informed. So their growth as a church in Christianity was pretty much progressive, and they were learning as they go. But Paul basically says this, you're not getting what church is all about. and what Christianity is all about. It isn't about focusing so much on our differences. It's not about who's right and who's wrong and all the convictions and preferences. It's not about who is a better Christian by how you measure Christianity. You know, this person looks more like a Christian. This person acts more like a Christian. You know, when I was growing up, the old saying was, is that don't smoke, don't chew, and don't hang with people that do. That's an old Baptist slang. And you had all the different things about good Baptists and how we conducted ourselves. But the teachings of Christ is simply this, is, and Paul was putting this out there, get over yourselves. Stop judging one another. You that are going by the rules and regulations, don't call them a bunch of liberal people that don't have any convictions. And you that have liberty in the Lord, don't look at them and saying you guys are weak because you know you're still under rules and regulation. Learn how to live together in unity and grow together and learn from each other. I've learned this in all these years of Christianity and pastoring, is things I thought were right and things I taught 38 years ago are things I do not agree with now. I have early sermon back when I started preaching. They had the reel-to-reel taping. That's how you recorded a service. And then they had cassettes, and there were bags of cassettes. And there are sermons I know and subject matters I know that I took on right out of college and seminary to be able to. I preached some of those hellfire and brimstone messages, and it divided us from the world. It almost said that we need to be secluded from the world. And I remember, and this is the stuff that I was taught, this is the stuff, and as I grew into it, I began to understand the scriptures didn't teach a lot of things that I was teaching. And as I grew into this, I became more understanding of the liberties that we have in the Lord. So I'm saying this, is that sometimes where somebody says, I believe this, as they grow, they may grow out of that, they may discern more. By the way, sometimes your opinions about other people and judge other people go away as you get older and you begin to make your own mistakes. It's interesting how the more that we fail and fall, the more that we stop focusing on everybody else's mistakes. Because Christianity is a growing process. Where you are today may not be where you are a year from now in your understanding of things. Because as you explore scriptures, you listen to sermons, you listen to music, you begin to have God speak to you, all of a sudden you're finding yourself changing your mindset about some things. And I want to encourage you, always be open to that. Always be open to that. It also means those of us that have feel full liberty, we may become somewhat more conservative, I think, as we get old. And sometimes the older we get, the more we begin to rewound back into tradition. That's just a normal process. When I started pastoring, it was an old fundamental church, and it was the hymnals, the choir, the robes, and all that. And then we began to grow in different measures or whatever. And then we began to start this church. We wanted progressive. We wanted the lighting and that. And now I get a little longing for the old-fashioned traditional ideas. So we're always growing. We're always evolving in this. And to me, it means that I need to take care of myself and not to judge other people. It doesn't mean I don't have discernment. It doesn't mean if you come to me and ask my opinion about something you're thinking about. But I have found myself, and I think most of you that know me, when somebody asks me my opinion, I make it very clear. There is truth that is undeniable truth. Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, salvation through Jesus Christ. Undeniable. There are things that I hold as a conviction or I may not hold as a strong conviction. And when I give that advice, I will say, this is for me. It may not be for you. But here's where I'm at, and I hope you can glean from me. And I hope I can glean from you. The pastors never should stop learning from their own congregation. That's a bad trap to get into, is when the pastor thinks he has learned and had come to all the conclusions. Still learning, still making mistakes, still failing, still rebounding, and I'll do that probably to the day that I die. But we need not to judge other people, but to show grace, because that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. Let me give you real quick here some things about the idea about those that judge. And this is what I have found in my own studies, my own examination of human nature. We are prone to cast judgment on people that differ from us. Now, things we've seen happen in the last 24 hours, the shooting in El Paso and Ohio and other places, A lot of that ends up being great hatred. But most of the time you see something like that, it's usually because that group of people differed from the person who's doing the shooting. You can call it whatever you want. If you talk about terrorism and stuff, it's just hatred, hatred. But usually it comes down by the fact that we are prone to cast judgment that people that differ from us, people that are not like us. We separate ourselves and have no contact with somebody who we feel is not like us. And that's easy to do. But we were never encouraged to do that. We were not called to be isolationist. We were not called to be people that look down on others and cast judgment on. If you think about this, Jesus Christ, when he traveled this world on foot here for that 33 and a half years, the 3.5 years in ministry, he never sat down and had fellowship with the high religious gas bags. That's what I call them. He did not. Every dinner he had, and every place you find him sitting down, was usually with the most wretched of sinners or those in the community that were known for being outcast or sinners or whatever it may be. He sat down and had dinners with thieves. He sat down and had dinner with those that were leopards, which many people thought that you became leprosy in that time because of a sin in your life. And he never discarded himself and never withdrew himself from the populace. And so many times in Christianity, we find people talking about, you know, we must separate from them, and their conduct is wrong, and their orientation is unacceptable, or whatever it may be. And so what we've done is some have taught that you just need to make the church all come into these four walls and seclude yourselves because you're the pure church. The church in Christianity is supposed to be messy. People in Christianity, and let's not fake it, are all going through something. Everybody here has a story. Everybody here has gone through something that you would hope no one would find out about. But in a true Christian church, if we did find out about it, you would be given grace. Because we're not the judge. That's between you and God. And so many times we forget that. But we seem to judge, we're prone to judge people that we differ from so much. Secondly, judgmental people usually are dealing with their own dissatisfaction. This is a personal observation. I've always noticed the people that seem to have the most criticism, critique of other people, I'm going to tell you, they're dealing with their own dissatisfaction. Hatred is internalized before it's externalized. You begin to dwell on it so much that it overwhelms you. You're dissatisfied, and so you have to take that out on somebody else. And I truly believe that judgmental people usually are dealing with some dissatisfaction in their own life, and they want everybody else to feel miserable too. You ever been around people that way? You ever notice that there are people you're with that you take on a personification of what they of them when you're with them long enough? If you hang around with people that are always critical, talking stuff, you smack about people, you end up beginning to buy into that. If you're around people that seem to have a pleasant disposition, always kind and grace, you find yourself doing that. The old saying goes, we used to tell our kids, you become who you hang with. Well, that goes for adults too. We begin to take on those attributes. Thirdly, when we judge others, we show we have forgotten the grace of God that he's given us. And that's important here. I've never met anybody that has a right to cast judgment on somebody else. And the funny thing about it is, I've met people that have been very judgmental of others, judgmental of me even, that in time, they had the same issue in their life. And I've always taken the measure, even though they may have dumped all over me, to reach out to them and offer any assistance. I had one situation recently that exactly like that, that when I went through a battle years and years ago, beat the snot out of me verbally. And I remember when this person went through it, I reached out through Messenger on Facebook to let them know I'm in your corner, anything you need, been there where you are. Because to me, it's an opportunity to show them what they should have done, but also let them know this is who we should be. And so I have found myself that when we judge others, we are forgetting the grace of God. And we got to remember that there are not one perfect person sitting here today. keep that in mind. Now, Jesus taught about this too, and I'm going to get down here to the nitty-gritty and close out here. He taught about judging. So Paul was an apostle, so you don't want to take his word for it. Just take Jesus' word for it. In Matthew chapter number 7, 1 through 6, here's what he says, and this is so eye-opening. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You are going to reap what you sow. What you put out there is going to come back to you in the same measure. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in a brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the brother's eye. Do not give dogs their what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear into pieces. Kind of a reference there is that when you judge somebody, you're basically going to cause your own problems. And when Jesus spoke of this, remember, he came on the scene. He's fighting against a system of rules and regulations. They could not work on the Sabbath day. They could not eat certain foods. They had to have their crops separated so they wouldn't be near each other. If they had somebody who was involved in immorality, the old law said you can take out of the city and stone them. They had all these rules and regulations. So Jesus comes on the scene, and I always tell folks, this is a Sermon on the Mount, and I get pictures in my mind. Jesus teaches to the crowd that wants to hear. Then he teaches to the ones that are kind of speculating, what's this guy all about? But in the back, there's always his enemies, the religious leaders of that day, listening so they could find something to charge him with, which eventually they did. That's why they crucified him. And when he talks about the fact that don't judge or you will be judged in the same way, I can imagine some folks in the front who were poor and needy turned around the back and looked at these guys that have been judging them all their life and kind of got a new theology here. And the reason why the religious leaders were getting upset because they held power by judging others, by looking down on others, by not giving grace. If you were sick, it's because you had a sin in your life. If you were poor, it's because you're not righteous enough. And it made them feel like little people. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes, he's a liberator, and says, listen, they don't have a right to judge you, and you don't have a right to judge them. And that was new, eye-opening stuff to these people. The religious leaders didn't like him saying that because they're losing power, and that's eventually why they crucified him. But the bottom line is, he says, and this is key, when you judge, it will. This is not a maybe. If you give it out, you're going to get it back. And so the next time you feel that you have a disagreement with somebody or whatever, pro-con or whatever, and you feel like you want to say smack about them or you want to say something to them or whatever, remember this, if you judge and you do something to demean them, you're going to see the result of that at some time in the future. That's why we're not in the business of judging. God is. It's not talking about discernment. We're not talking about, you know, the idea of right and wrong in government. You know, somebody commits murder, they have to go before citizens, grand jury. The Bible says that is to follow the authorities of the powers of your government. The thing about we're talking about here is that normal everyday life, where somebody does something that you just want to pounce on them. By the way, when people blow it, I guarantee you the person that's beating them up the most is himself. You don't need any help. Every time I've blown it, I didn't need somebody to remind me when I blew it. It's nice to have somebody that shows some grace. So what do we learn from what this passage here, real quick here? First of all, that we will receive the judgment the same way we handed it out. Concentrate on your own life and leave others in God's control. If God can forgive others' faults, so should we. And that's key there. It's interesting how when somebody fails, whatever they do, sins, whatever, you tell them, you need to go to God, and the Bible says you need to confess your sins, and he'll forgive you and forget all about it. But humanly speaking, we don't always do that. We like holding grudges. We were never given permission to hold grudges, by the way. It's hard. Doesn't mean you have to become best buddies with somebody who hurt you. It just means you've got to get it out of your system, because the only thing that that bitterness and that hatred or that judgment is going to do is crush your spirit. You know, I saw something yesterday. Don't take criticisms from somebody you would never take advice from. Don't worry about it. Treat with grace. Let God take care of any wrongs, anything that was wrong to you, any injustice. Let God take care of it, because he will. And let me give you the walk away. The walk away is simply this. When you judge others, you don't define them, you define yourself. You're not changing anything about them, but you are changing things about yourself. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you're new with us, it's just a time to pray. We're going to have them come back out, closing a song in a second. And I appreciate everybody being understanding. Next week, we have live worship. Looking forward to the band being back together. I'll be playing. And got a good set of music next week. I want to encourage you. I thought about this when I was on vacation, what I'm going to speak when I came back. Kind of went over some former notes of things or whatever. But I've seen, maybe when I observed the world and even some local things here and stuff in our community, I just want to remind ourselves that we need to, as Cornerstone, as we go further and farther in our ministry, is to open our doors to people that are messed up, to open our doors to people that are struggling, to open our doors to people that might not see eye to eye with us, to open our doors to people that basically are on a journey and they just want somebody to be accepting. Accepting doesn't always mean approving. That's not our business. But the idea is that I want us to be a place where the hurting can come, and in a place where those who are looking, as I said before, for people that have given up in church but not on God, let us be that church they finally come back to. That's up to us. Our personality is our personality. It's not mine, even though I am the leader. Our personality is what we put out there as we talk to people. I think right now there's a lot of people that don't want to get heavy into a religious system. They don't want to be locked into a church. But they'd like to have somewhere that they can go and attend and even get involved and feeling like just the way they are, without any games, without any criticisms, and be able to use their gifts and their talents and their abilities to flourish in their life but also their church. I think kids need that. I think teens need that. Our teens are under such pressure today. And, you know, they need to know it's a place to where they can come and acceptance is there. When they're struggling for their identity, who they are, they need to find a place that's accepting. That's important. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together. I pray, Lord, as we close out the service today, that this lesson has been helpful, has been able to hit the hearts of individuals to help us continue to create our personality and our philosophy in this community. And God, there are people here that have gone through things in their lives that have been gone through damaging things in their lives. And God, they have felt the heat and the hatred of sometimes Christian people who have judged them and broke from them. God, may we display that this is a place to where broken people are a part of us, people that have messed things up are part of us, and that, God, we are in the business of extending grace in the times of turmoil. And God, whatever has to be corrected, whatever has to be judged, that you will do that. That's not our place. And we know when you do it, you will do it in such a way that you are graceful in yourselves. And God, may we be a good example of that in this community. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.